Hello, this is international football commentator Derek Ray, and you're listening to the Ranks FC podcast.
Hello, Rank Squad, and welcome to Ranks FC. It's your favourite transatlantic football podcast. My name's Jack Collins, and I will be your host today. And joining me across the water is the one and only Mr. Dean Jones. How you doing, mate? And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas to you too, and all the listeners. Happy festive season, whatever you're celebrating over the next few days, whether you're just chilling out, enjoying some time off, hopefully. Yeah, everything's good, mate. I've got to say, like, we won't do a formal things I love for today, but one of the things I really do love, Jack, is the Rank Squad. And like half hour ago here in San Diego, I was just out with the two kids who are obviously off school at the moment. And we were in Mission Valley shopping mall, just wandering around, kind of wasting time, kind of getting some last minute presents. And I went to the van store, had a little walk around, just a quick lap. And as I was walking out, one of the workers goes, "Sorry, are you Dean Jones?" It's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, I don't miss a podcast." And like, started talking. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is what I love about this. Like, you know, we sit here three, four times a week and chat to each other. Obviously, we see the comments on Patreon and we've got a community there that's very close-knit, but there's a wider audience too that we don't necessarily hear from. Had a quick chat with this lad. Wish I got his name now so I could have given him a shout out on the pod, but it just like, it's happened a few times. Like, and in fact, I might even have to do a San Diego meetup. It seems like this might be quite a hotspot, mate, for the pod. But yeah, it's one of those things that when it happens, Dylan's kind of like, and Reese, they were like, "Are you famous?" I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm kind of a big deal, lads. Kind of a big deal."
You had to get the quote in as well. That's the important bit.
But yeah, so that really made me smile. And it was nice to come into the pod knowing that there are people out there that genuinely don't miss a show. And he was saying, hasn't missed one back to the BR days. So love it.
No, that's amazing. That is such a nice little festive cheer as well for everyone. And look, it's going to be a festive episode today. We're going to be giving out some Christmas presents. This is going to be coming out on Christmas Eve. So we thought we'd hand out some presents. We'd play Santa and his elf. Dean is slightly taller than me, so he gets to be Santa, which is a real shame. But we're going to play Santa and his elf and hand out some presents. Some are going to be more serious than others. Some are player-based. Some are things that the manager could do with. But we've got a list, and it's quite an extensive list as well, I will say. There's 16 clubs here that we've picked out. 6 from the Premier League, some from Italy, some from Spain, and one each from France and Germany as well. We're going to be giving out these presents over the course, leaving them underneath the manager's tree. So we've got plenty to get through, Dean. I want to get stuck straight into it. And you've been thinking about the Premier League clubs. We're going to sort of split this up between us, but you're going to start by giving a present to Ruben Amorim, the manager of Manchester United.
Yeah, like this guy definitely needs cheering up, doesn't he? It's partly his own fault he's so miserable, but partly he just needs some new players. So we're going to give him one on Ranks FC today. Happy Christmas, Ruben Amorim. Here is a wrapped up Pablo Barrios from Atletico Madrid. He's a central midfielder and he's kind of ideal for what United might be looking for as they look to refit the place in 2026 and continue to kind of up model and upscale. Now, interestingly, the reason I've kind of given them Barrios is because I've heard of some whispers that they have actually had a little look in his direction. Now, for anyone that hasn't seen Barrios play, like, well, go and do it, because he's immense. Like, I don't think Diego Simeone would be very happy to lose this player. He actually has a 120 million euro release clause, but we'll ignore that because Spanish release clause don't mean too much. He'd still be pretty punchy though. But the way he reads play, the way that he conducts play, and just his all-round kind of traits I feel would really work in this United midfield. And I wanted to get away from talking about Elliot Anderson and Adam Wharton and Carlos Baleba because they're not realistic. He ain't getting any of those as Christmas presents this year. You know, it's like my kid's asking for a dog. It ain't happening. So we've got to come up with some alternatives. That's why Reese is getting a robo dog, right?
Fantastic. So,
Amorim's getting a different version. No, Barrios hasn't got the Premier League experience that United are really putting priority on for new signings. But Jack, you would have seen him a lot. What do you think Amorim's reaction would be to getting Pablo Barrios underneath the Christmas tree?
I think he'd be a little bit surprised. He'd be like, I didn't think this was on sale. He was like, wow, I'm really shocked. And look, I'm a little bit stunned by some of these rumours because I thought that he would be a big, big part of this Atleti side going forward. Still
well, 22. They hope he is.
Well, still 22 years old. He was one of those players that made the transition between the two academies. He moved from Real Madrid's academy at the age, I think he was 15 at that point when he made the jump across. And you kind of look at it and think, oh, that's one that Real Madrid would be looking at and saying, we could really do with a Pablo Barrios in the midfield. He's an all-action player, one of those who gets around the pitch really well. But as you say, that composure for someone so young feels like an important part of his game already. And if you're going to play with two in midfield, we've talked about this countless times, right? But if you're going to play with two in midfield, you kind of need them to be able to do a bit of everything. Because you're often getting outnumbered in there. You have to be able to beat a man. You have to be able to pick a pass. You have to be able to do the defensive work, especially if you're going in there next to Bruno Fernandes. And I think that Barrios has all of those traits. I'm just, you know, kind of looking at this and we were talking about Atleti and we have been for the last couple of weeks over on the Patreon, you know, and thinking, okay, what's the future of Conor Gallagher at the club? You know, who are the players that could genuinely leave? And look, there's a couple of Atleti players who are going to be wrapped up as presents today because it does feel like the club are on the verge of being like, this might be a done season. We might go for an exodus clear out and try and build again and get it into the second half so that we can come into next season with a real, you know, skip in our step and a punch to kind of move upwards. So I'm a little bit surprised by some of the names that are being touted as potential exits from Atletico Madrid. But this is the one I think that was maybe top of that list. And if someone could bring in a Pablo Barrios, who has really grown into this team. He took the 8 shirt that Saul used to wear at the start of 2024-25. And he's kind of really settled into this team. They do have a lot of players in the middle, especially with the resurrection of Koke in the middle of the park. But this is one I thought they were looking about building around. So the fact that he is even, you know, in this conversation, I think Amorim would be a bit stunned. I'm a bit stunned. But if they could get this one over the line, I think this would be a real coup for United.
Mate, Christmas is all about surprises. So that's what we're aiming for here. Look, I don't think Atleti would want to lose the player, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to be facing a test on that front. And generally, you know, we're dishing out things here today that we think would be welcomed by people. And ultimately, he ain't going to be turning up his nose at this present, is he?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, let's keep going because we've got a lot of gifts to give out. Let's get over to Mikel Arteta at Arsenal, top of the league at Christmas and with a very, very deep squad. So we're not throwing around a player here. What are you giving? What are you leaving under Mikel Arteta's Christmas tree?
Well, it's going to be Gabriel, but he's going to be holding a card that is an injury-free guarantee. He's got a warranty now. And it means that there's no problems. Like, for the rest of this season, you get an unharmed, fully fit Gabriel. Arteta's little face as he comes down the stairs in the morning, seeing Gabriel sat there under the tree. I can imagine it right now. He'd be so happy because this would mean he can actually go and win the league. Like, at the moment, obviously, they're wobbling a little bit. Saliba's got back in there quickly to make sure that the whole place doesn't fall apart. But he needs his mate alongside him if they're going to get the job done.
He doesn't look quite as sturdy without his pal, does he?
He's not quite as sturdy, mate. And he's, you know, Gabriel couldn't have helped this, but Saliba got away with one at the weekend when he's kicked the bottom of Barry's boot. And I just think, like, Arsenal aren't a one-man team. But he makes a hell of a difference having Gabriel there. You know, whether it's coming up for corners, whether it's just taking care of business at the back, whether it's just the composure and the kind of comforts that he gives the rest of his teammates. This is what every Arsenal fan would love, isn't it? Surely. Is there anything else you think they'd want more than an injury-free Gabriel? I don't know.
I've been genuinely thinking about this. I mean, you know, if you offered them a Kylian Mbappe to play on the left wing, I think they'd take it, right? But like...
we're not that generous.
Or rich. We haven't got that much money. And, you know, I can't make a new Kylian Mbappe, sadly. And he's very much not for sale, given he's just equaled the club record for goals in a calendar year for Real Madrid with Cristiano Ronaldo. So I think that maybe if Arsenal fans were being pushy and saying what they really wanted, maybe they'd be looking at a left winger. And saying, can we upgrade on Martinelli and Trossard? We haven't seen Eze out there for quite some time now. It's been mostly through the middle that we've seen Iberietse doing his best work. Noni Madueke mostly on the right-hand side as a kind of rotation option for Bukayo Saka. So if you could bring in a top-class, absolutely top-draw left winger, if Rodrigo really was on the exit list at Real Madrid, maybe a Mikel Arteta and an Arsenal fan would hope for a wrapped up Rodrigo under the tree, but would they take that more than a guarantee of Gabriel's fitness for the rest of the season? I don't think so. I think you've absolutely nailed the present here. I think there'll be a lot of smiling faces at the Emirates if this one was to come off.
Yeah. Well, that's the job. That's our job today. We are being very cheerful and we're being very generous. So hopefully every fan base here is going to be satisfied across this podcast. That is the aim of today, and I'm going to let you take us on to the next one, mate, because what would Liverpool and Arne Slot be getting? Because I tell you what, that man deserves a present.
So I've been thinking about this one for a while, right? Like since the card started to come into the factory at the start of December, I've been really wondering what Arne Slot would wanted. And my first thought was actually what he really would have wanted was a central midfielder, because I think the Liverpool remain light in those areas. And originally I was thinking about Matthias Jensen at Liverpool, at Brentford, just, you know, someone who I've touted for Liverpool for a couple of years, saying that's the kind of sensible transfer they could probably do with just to bolster things up. But I think that, you know, with Joe Gomez picking up an injury at the start of December, and even though Ibrahima Konate has come back to some semblance of form in the last couple of weeks, it does feel like Liverpool and Arne Slot are still crying out for a centre-back. I did think about potentially a full fitness and form for Mo Salah, which would be a massive change in terms of what they would do for the second half
Mo
of the
Salah.
Season.
Last year's Mo Salah would
last
be handy.
Last year's Mo Salah. Mo Salah 2024. Yeah. That would be good, but I still think that currently they have two fit centre-backs, and that's just not going to be enough.
What about the real Alex Isak? Did you think about that?
Well, you know what? I've got a funny feeling that whilst Alex Isak will be obviously incredibly disappointed to have picked up a major injury, whilst Liverpool will be frustrated about the fact that their depth chart has been blitzed once again, I do wonder if this is just an opportunity for a hard reset for Alex Isak. I wonder if he comes back from this and be like, okay, that almost didn't count. What happened before this? You know, this is the point where I'm going to come back at full fitness, ready to actually play again. It's going to take a couple of months. That he can almost be like, let's just ignore that, you know, I came into this season not match sharp and not ready, and now coming back as a like new signing, ready to actually make my mark on this squad. So I wonder if they're also getting that, but just in a very delayed kind of almost an Easter present kind of way, that it's going to take a little while for Alex Isak to come back. But when he does, it might just give him the impetus to be like, right, I'm going to come into this one and hit the ground running this time round. And it might just give him a reset that it felt like he needed, because it's been such a weird up and down period first.
Yeah.
So I've gone to the centre-backs team and I've had a look. Now, I don't think you can go and sign a world-class centre-back in this transfer window for any semblance of a reasonable fee.
Uh-huh.
Although, I did originally think about Ronald Araujo, who has just come back or has made the announcement he's going to be coming back to Barcelona after his break, which he took to try and get his mind set after a difficult period. And he's someone they've had a long-standing interest in. He's someone who remains relatively young in terms of the general scope of centre-backs and has many more years to give. He's someone who has felt like he's never really clicked at Barcelona for the last 3-4 years. You know, that even then, when he was at kind of full fitness, it's never felt like he was first choice. He's gone back to not being first choice. He's made huge mistakes this year, and that leadership role has not necessarily suited him at Barcelona. I think the Barca will be looking at centre-backs. We'll come on to that later. And I do wonder if Rondo Araujo was given a new space to begin, but under the watchful eye of someone a little bit more experienced than him, that's willing to kind of give him the direction, perhaps, that he hasn't been getting as the kind of senior member of the Barcelona back four, that he might be able to rediscover some of the form that made him such an exciting prospect coming through. Mm. So I just wonder if there is a space that Ronald Araujo to Liverpool would make sense. 26 years old, so not someone who's obviously kind of worked it through in the same way, but someone who definitely still has the potential to get right to the top of this. And I wonder if you'd be able to get him at sort of 20 million, because with the Christensen injury and Barcelona kind of wanting to go and bring in someone perhaps more long-term, considering Christensen's contract's up at the end of the year, if they might just be like, we'd actually like to reinvest that pretty quickly and make it stick. So I don't know. I'm asking you, but do you reckon there's a world where a Ronald Araujo could end up under Arne Slot's tree?
Oh, it seems a slight stretch right now, but I like the direction you're heading in. Obviously, we know that they really want Mark Gahey, and obviously, it wouldn't take like a fortune to get Mark Gahey. It's more that the player would prefer to move at the end of the season.
I think if it's in the Premier League, that would make sense. But I actually have wrapped Mark Gahey up somewhere else. So
okay,
I'm afraid he can't be under the tree.
No,
for
yeah, that's fine. So Araujo, I like it. I like it. I think he could work in that team. He'd bring them stability and also some personality that they need, I think, in that team.
I mean, just two potential other gifts I did think about.
Yeah.
With two younger centre-backs that Liverpool might look to as a more long-term project. Joel Ordóñez, who's the Ecuadorian centre-back, who's been absolutely brilliant at Club Brugge. And Konstantinos Kouliarakis, who's now at Wolfsburg, was brilliant coming through at PAOK, made that move at the start of 2024, has continued to grow. He's going to be a Greek international for the next 10, 12 years. I think he's someone on the way to the top of the game. He's not perfect yet, nor is Ordóñez, although I'd say he's slightly further along in his development, although again, playing in a weaker league, take it with a slight pinch of salt. But either of those two, if they were looking at a 22, 21-year-old centre-back with the potential to kind of maybe be a partner for Leone when he comes back from injury in the long term, to potentially, you know, barricade themselves up for the long term. But I do wonder, it's like, if you're a Liverpool fan, are you looking for a little bit of experience now, someone to just settle this down? Or are you looking to kind of long-term to bring someone in who might be there for a decade? They've done kind of the long-term planning over the course of the summer and it's not resulted in immediate success. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're looking at an Araujo as a short-term option. I like the idea of an Ordóñez or a Kouliarakis ending up at Liverpool as someone who could, you know, be the third choice centre-back, make appearances, be on the rotation, but still be learning from the players that are there at the moment as well.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's a nice gift. I'm going to move on to Chelsea because this one looks a bit different, Jack. This one's not really a present. It's an envelope.
It's an experience.
Yeah. Hang on, let's just... It's a voucher. It's a voucher to a spa retreat. Oh, it's for Enzo Maresca and the sporting directors, Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart, to go to a spa retreat for the weekend. Ah, what a lovely gift. Well, hopefully it's a lovely gift. I mean, are they going to get on all right? I don't know. They need to make up, don't they? They need to kiss and make up, these guys. Enzo Maresca, passionate guy. Do you reckon he's ever been to a spa retreat before?
I don't know, he's got quite good skin.
Yeah, he'd like it. They can all lay in the same room and have a massage, face down. They're all getting a little back rub. And they can talk things through, right? Talk things through calmly. Enzo Maresca, I don't think he feels that these two really like him. And I think that they just need to all just spend some time together, have, you know, a juice in the day and maybe a glass of wine at night and just become friends so that everyone at Chelsea is on the same page as they get into the second half of the season and try to get some trophies. Because at the moment, I've got a feeling there's too much friction here, Jack. I think that the problems within the building at Stamford Bridge are going to affect what's happening out on that pitch. And I think Chelsea have got a good chance of winning something this season if everything's hunky-dory. Behind the scenes. So yeah, I think this is a nice gift. They're going to a really nice spa retreat together, if they all accept it, of course. Yeah. And the three of them can just go and spend a good solid 48 hours relaxing and just talking things through.
I actually think this would be a great gift for them all. I just don't know what the gift that Enzo Maresca wanted. And I wonder if he
saw it. Ring and just smash the life out of him.
Yeah, or a centre back. But in terms of you know, what he's going to take on, will he turn up? That's the big question. But I actually think it's one that could be for the best. It's all settled down. You know, things are not brilliant, but they're also fine. And the project continues on course. Let's all just get ourselves together and manage the situation a little bit more. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Right, let's go over to Manchester City and Pep Guardiola. Perhaps his last Christmas with the club, Dean. We don't know.
You want to start singing then, Jack?
Well, exactly. It is one of those. And I just wanted to put it out there, right? But you know what? City fans have given him their heart. And it's going to be a question mark of whether he stays for an extra season. But Dean, you and I have had differing views on what Manchester City needs. So what are you giving to Pep?
Well, I've got him Antoine Semenyo, mate. Because he's... The thing is, I've heard that he is donating Savinho and Oscar Bob to charity for Christmas. So if that happens, I think that there's space in this Man City squad for a really nice present, and like only the best will do, right? So you've got to go for what's the creme de la creme of the market, and it's looking like Antoine Semenyo in many people's eyes. Whether that turns out to be true, I don't know. I'm not saying that Semenyo is the perfect person for this squad, but City want him, and if they're having second thoughts about whether Savinho and Bob are quite up to speed and up to scratch for what they need in terms of their ambitions in the second half of the season when they're banging the title race. I've got him Semenyo. Look, I got a good deal on it, 65 million. You know, I was very happy with that discount because I was expecting to pay 80. So I think that they'll be happy with it. But what were you going to get him, mate?
Well, I was going to get Pep Guardiola a right back because I think it's the area that City need to strengthen the squad in most. And I think that if you're looking at this squad and saying, where's the weak point? Because there will be thoughts in Pep's head that he thought about asking for a central midfielder. I'm sure he did. He's a bit worried every time Nico Gonzalez hits the deck at the moment that he might have an injury. But I don't think you give him a central midfielder because in February, he'll be bored playing with it because Rodri will be back. And he likes his old toys as well. So you have to make sure that you're giving him something that has a little bit of legs. And that's always difficult with Guardiola, right? Because you never know if he's going to love or hate the gifts that you give it. But I think you get a right back and you get an exciting attacking right back into this Manchester City side. And I reckon they'd get games. Mateus Nunes is doing an admirable job, we should add, at right back at the moment. But I think he needs a bit of rotation. I think he still sees Rico Lewis as a central midfielder in real terms. And I'm excited to kind of see what he could do if he was given a little bit more adventure. Now, I did ask Newcastle if they were interested in selling a Tino Livramento, but they said no. So I've had to look elsewhere. So I went to two clubs. I went to one in Spain. I went to Espanyol. And I had a little look at Omar El Hilali, who has been excellent going forward. Young right back, really dynamic, really, really kind of good at getting down the flank and out the outside of his man, and is part of a very impressive Espanyol side who continue to go through the gears this season. He's been a little bit outshone by his pal on the other flank at Espanyol. So not as much highlight has been given to what he's been doing. He hasn't had the same kind of productive output, but I think he's a very, very talented player and I'm excited to see what he could do when he makes a step up. And at the moment, obviously, it's going to be difficult for him to play at an international level because he's behind Achraf Hakimi in the Morocco setup. So he's got a big idol to learn from and big future and big dreams going forward. And I think that Pep would quite like our friend Omar. He's got one Omar in his squad. We might add another one to the squad for now. The other player is someone who I've been touting on here for a little while. I went to see my old friends at Lille and I wondered what the latest on Thiago Santos was, who is someone that both of us have very much liked and admired for some time. Now, Thiago Santos only came back from an ACL injury in August. So he's been working his way back into the side, but he's found his options a little bit limited this season by Thomas Meunier, who's playing on that right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you made the right offer to Lille, if they'd be interested in just maybe taking the cash at this point as they start to reinvest and rebuild the squad again. Really talented footballer. His appearances are mostly come on the left-hand side this year, which is weird because he's very much right-footed. But I think that he's someone with the capacity to get forward and make things happen. The only worry I have with both of these, Dean, is that I think about Sergio Gomez, who was such an exciting prospect when he came in to take over that left-back role. And it just never really happened for him under Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. Obviously now at Real Sociedad, and he's going to be managed by Pellegrino Matarazzo for the near future. But I still think the City could do with the right-back. And these are two that I kind of found and thought, I think that Pep might be able to work some miracles with two incredibly talented young players.
I feel a bit sorry for you, though, because I feel like you getting him a right back and me getting him a wide, exciting attacker is like me getting him a skateboard and you've got him a pair of socks.
He's going to get more use out of the pair of socks.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
He's having more fun with the skateboard.
And it's handy and it's a great present for your dad. I'll be delighted if one of the kids gets me socks for Christmas. But it's cool when you unwrap a skateboard, isn't it?
I've got a better analogy. I think what I've bought him is a backpack. You've bought him a skateboard and I've bought him a backpack. There's no point in having the skateboard unless you can have a backpack to work it with. But unfortunately, you have to get one at the same time. Maybe Manchester City as a kind of last Christmas gift to Pep Guardiola, get him both an Antoine Semenyo and a right back. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Right, let's finish the Premier League off with Tottenham Hotspur. Poor old beleaguered Thomas Frank. What have you left under his tree, Ding?
I was just going to burn the place down and just do everyone a favour at this point and then put them out their misery. But I thought, no, it's Christmas. We've got to look at it a bit more cheerfully than that, Tottenham fans. Things aren't that bad. And actually, I think you played okay at the weekend against Liverpool. And actually, with 10 and 9 men, it's pretty good going.
If you're playing your best football of the season with 10 men, you've got an issue.
Yeah, possibly. But hey. You've got to look for positives. And I'm looking for positives. So, yes, Tottenham, this can all be fixed. I've got you a great present. I mean, it's kind of revolutionary and it's kind of untested in the world. But I feel like you guys have got to be the perfect guinea pigs. I'm giving everyone in the squad a brain reboot. You're just gonna get it restarted. So the football part of your brain is going to be re-triggered by the docs. And this is $1 million treatment, mate. Like, this is multi-million dollar treatment. So
it's the kind of treatment they would have at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium if they had treatment rooms.
Yeah, James Madison and co have recommended the doctors because they've had so much time to think about things this season in the injury room. And they've how quickly they've fixed Madison. He's already back out on the grass. He's working his way towards getting better after getting injured in pre-season. So they're like, right, we can fix legs. Can we fix brains? And I think I can. I think that's what's needed for Tottenham because they've got a decent squad and they should have a decent manager. They're just all stuck in their own heads and they don't believe in themselves when they've got 11 men anyway. So let's get out there, Tottenham. After this, you're going to just believe that you are all the best players in the world. I should really have taken the cheap route out here and got you hypnotherapy. But I haven't. I've rebooted your brains. And you're not going to worry about defensive mistakes. You're not going to worry about getting caught out in possession. You are going to play front-footed football that is fearless. And Thomas Frank is going to be the orchestrator of it all.
Well, you're giving Thomas Frank a brain reboot as well. You're rewiring him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're rewiring him to Brentford Championship mode rather than Brentford Premier League mode.
Yeah, it was buy 23, get one free. So he gets the other one.
Fantastic. Excellent. I'm sure that Tottenham fans will be furious listening to that and be like, really? With all of these things, this is what you've given us? This is what you've put under the tree?
I think that's what they need, mate.
It might well be the thing that's needed at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So there you go. There you go.
Worth a try, right?
It's worth a go. It's worth a go. There go our six for the Premier League. Gifts for Ruben Amorim, for Mikel Arteta, for Arne Slot, for Enzo Maresca, for Pep Guardiola, and for Thomas Frank. Right, we're going to take a little break there. When we come back, we're going to be heading to Serie A, where there are some more gifts for us to give out. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Ranked FC, and we are going over to Italy, which means that Jack is going to be leading this section of present giving. He's more in touch with the culture over in Italy, I feel. So, Jack, I believe we've got five presents to hand out here across the Serie A clubs. I'll take one, but you can take the other four, and I'll let you lead the way. So we're going to start with Juventus. What have you got that could turn their mediocrity a bit more special?
So I'm going to be La Befana whilst we're in Italy, a witch that flies around and gives gifts. It's actually on January the 5th that she turns up, which is about right, I think, for when these things might start to potentially land. Okay. So I'm going to go to Juve first. We're going to go to Turin and we're going to take a look at what Spalletti needs. Now, it's been very difficult to ascertain exactly what Spalletti needs because I don't think he's going to continue to play the same style of football for the rest of his tenure that he is currently playing. The three at the back has remained to the chagrin of quite a lot of people. But actually, what I do think they need is a bit of a shot in the arm. And so what I think Spalletti should do is reunite with a player that he once managed at Napoli. So underneath the Gianni Spalletti's Christmas tree, I'm going to leave another Atleti player.
Oh,
I'm going to leave Giacomo Raspadori, who has really not cracked it since joining Atleti in the summer, who they are open to letting leave, who is very desperate to get his kind of bid to be part of Italy's potential World Cup squad back on track. And I think moving back to his homeland is something that could really start to move the needle. Now, they have a lot of number nines in Vlahovic and Jonathan David and Lois Openda. But behind them, Edinger Grover hasn't really set the world on fire. We know how good Kenan Yildiz and Chico Conceição are. But I think they could do with a little bit of rotation and potentially someone who could maybe flip the triangle at times, play up front alongside a number nine rather than necessarily as a number 10. And Raspadori is that second striper type. I think he is the kind of player that would fit in. And he's obviously someone that knows Spalletti well as well. So underneath the Juve tree, I'm leaving Atleti's Giacomo Raspadori coming home to try and restamp his authority on the Azzurri as well, which is always something the Juve have prided themselves on being a big part of.
I like it. And when I say mediocrity, you know, I just mean in terms of the title race. They don't quite seem ready to get there. They don't score quite enough. They concede one or two too many. But right now, as we're recording this, Juve are 4 points off Inter at the top of Serie A.
Now, Inter, having played a game more.
Yeah, for sure. But let's take it for what it is right now as we look at the table. And like, that's within touching distance, at least, even if Inter go and win the other game. Mm. So they need a bit more razzle dazzle, Jack. I don't know what the Italian is for that.
I don't either. I'm not going to try.
But yeah, I like where you've headed with the present, and I agree. I mean, yeah, I'd been tempted to just kind of get them a number nine who could consistently actually score goals. But I like the fact that you've gone a bit deeper than that and thought about, well, there's a reason maybe the guy, they've got good number nines up there. They're not scoring goals because they haven't got the piece behind them.
I just think the Raspadori could do with a move back to Italy. And there are links to Roma. I don't think that necessarily works. I don't think he's the number nine for a Gasperini system. And I'm struggling with that one. They seem to have the pieces in behind. They could do with the nine. Maybe there's a swap deal here. Maybe we could have a swap presence if everyone's not happy. But I just think that Raspadori feels like a slightly better fit for me, at the very least, for this Spalletti Juventus team. All right, let's take it onwards to Napoli, to Spalletti's old team, now obviously managed by Antonio Conte,
current reigning
champions. Yeah.
You got a trophy.
They did get a trophy today.
How did you top that?
Well, I think that this is, one, a trophy that they'll sort of be like, okay, cool. It's good to win it. But
it's the Super Cup, by the way, people. They just won the Super Cup.
So they're not going to be too bothered, I don't think, about this one. It's nice to get silver under the belt, but in the same way that, you know, seasons don't begin and end with the Community Shield in the Premier League, the Supercoppa holds a pretty similar
space. It was nice for Hoyland and McTominay to at least have a photo of themselves standing there with a trophy at the very least. Like that, that's trolling at its best.
I enjoy it very, very much. But I think that the thing that Antonio Conte is missing the most right now, Dean, is midfielders. And whilst Napoli have got by, they've switched the system. Conte's done a very good job, I think, in actually managing this situation in a difficult moment. He's gone back to a two in midfield. He's gone back to the 3-4-3 that we saw in the Premier League with Chelsea. It's not something he's necessarily used as much last year with Napoli. They changed to a four at the back and they were brilliant with a three-man midfield. That allowed McTominay to get into the box and be that goal-scoring threat. But they are very, very light in the middle of the pitch at the moment. And I'm looking at it and going, Lobotka and McTominay is currently not enough to get you through the rest of the season. Even if Elif Elmas can drop in there, he wants to play a bit further forward. Kevin De Bruyne, out till March. Andre Frank Zambo-Anguissa, out till mid-February. Billy Gilmore, out till at least mid-January. They are hopeful they will be able to work it back, but it's one of those injuries you're not quite sure exactly when it's going to fix. So I've gone and had a little look around some of the players whose contracts expire in the summer. And we've talked a lot about some of them, right? We've talked a lot about Mark Gay. We haven't talked very much about Quinton Timber, who is the twin brother of Jurrien Timber and who is currently captain of Feyenoord. 6 months left on his deal. Now, I think Quinton Timber is a wonderful footballer. I think he is the perfect kind of addition to a physical, all action, but needs to have the technicality to play in a Conte three-man midfield. And I think that this is the kind of depth that Napoli could do with if they're going to make a run at potentially retaining the title and also maybe shaking off that curse in Europe that Antonio Conte still has against his name. I think with 6 months left on his contract, Feyenoord would almost have to take a cut price deal for Quinton Timber. And I do think he's the exact type, model, mold of player who would thrive in Serie A. So I'm giving Napoli and Antonio Conte a Quinton Timber wrapped up under their tree.
Yeah, I like him a lot, mate. He's a very good player that I've been waiting for a while to actually land in the Premier League. I felt like someone might have done this before now. But this feels like a very good fit and a present that they would very much welcome. So I think you've done very well there. I'm going to take us on to AC Milan because I've got them a special ticket. All right, it's like an Uno reverse. It's a transfer reverse card. And it's a transfer reverse card that can be activated for Niklas Füllkrug before the transfer window actually begins. Because they're going for it. They are signing Niklas Füllkrug from West Ham on loan with an option to buy at the end of the season. And the thinking here is, and I saw it described as this in the Italian press, as Max Allegri has his new penalty box striker, the man that has been lacking for them this year, particularly in the last 20 minutes for games. Well, I'll tell you what, West Ham, he's been missing for the last 8 months. So I don't know what he's going to do in the last 20 minutes because he hasn't done anything for the last 8 months at West Ham. And he's also been injury plagued. So surely there's not an AC Milan fan out there that's actually excited about the idea of signing Füllkrug. And Max Allegri's got a big job on his hands here to actually get a proper tune out of this player. Now, it tells you everything that West Ham, like this is, even though the transfer window's not open yet, the negotiations have been open for a couple of weeks on this. And West Ham were desperately trying to get an obligation, right? They were like, if you're taking him, like we don't want him back. This is a West Ham team that are going down, right? And they're trying to get rid of their only striker, right?
It's not a great look, is it?
No. And so this is their chance. The transfer reverse card is there. It's in the envelope, but it's got to be activated by December 31st or you've got him for the rest of the season. And think carefully about it. It's basically like a receipt and you've got an exchange available. What do you reckon they'll do?
Yeah, I mean, they should be taking this and running with it. like, I just don't understand if you can't get a tune out of Santi Jimenez how you think you're going to get a tune out of a broken Niklas Füllkrug, whose knees basically don't work at this stage. He's picked up more injuries in his brief spell at West Ham than I've had hot dinners in 2025. It's been remarkably poor, is probably how I would phrase it. So I think this is a good one. And this is the reason you had to take that one, because it has to be activated before when I deliver the presents in Italy, which is on January the 4th. So I'm glad you got that one quickly and into their pockets before they could do any more panicking or panic buying in this regard. All right, let's flip to the other side of Inter. And the thing I think that Christian Kivu needs is a little bit of right wing back depth, because it looks like Denzel Dumfries is going under the knife. He's going to be having some surgery and he could be out for some serious time. Yeah. Now, Luis Enrique has done a pretty good job stepping into that role in recent weeks. And I think that he's looked sharp and impressive when he's been given cameos. But ultimately, I don't think they can rely on either shifting left wing backs across from the other side or pushing Matteo Darmian up into that right wing back role if they're going to challenge again across multiple fronts over the course of the season. So I looked, and actually what I've got for them is three options, because I'm not 100% sure exactly what Kivu is looking for from his wing back. I've got three options. Two of them are domestic. One of them is a little bit further abroad. But we'll go down to Verona quickly. Hellas Verona's Rafik Belgali is having a phenomenal season on the right side of a back five. It's a pretty poor Verona side. He's been a real bright spark. Someone who does rumble up and down in the Dumfries kind of manner, loves to take on his man and get into those areas, and is making things happen. And the other one that I'm looking at domestically is Dodo at Fiorentina. Now, I'm reticent to do this because I think that Dodo is amongst Fiorentina's better players. And currently, after they picked up their first win of the season in Serie A at the very least, it would be remiss of me to take him away. But I also read a piece from the Curva Fiasole, who are the Fiorentina Ultras kind of association. They've been kind of exiled by the way that it's happened with the renovation of the Artemio Franchi this season. And they basically released a statement on Thursday organizing a boycott of the first 20 minutes of this game against Udinese at the weekend. And there were some pretty harsh words said to ownership, to management, to manager, to players. And the basic message was, if you don't want to fight for this club and you don't want to put 100 in, if you are a coward, it's time to get out. The January window is there. So the fans have basically been like, look, if you don't want to play for us, don't do it. Now, I'm not 100% sure that applies to Dodo, as I say, because he's been one of their better players. But I think that Fiorentina have to kind of look at getting some wages off the books, because if they are going to go down, it's going to be, you know, an absolute bloodbath in the summer. And so I think they need to think about reshaping this squad in the January window, which does mean potentially making some sales to raise capital. And Dodo is a player who there will be interested in. He's been excellent up and down that flank for a couple of seasons. He's not perfect, but as a player who could step into this Inter side, who knows this formation very, very well, and who has the attacking impetus that they lack with someone like a Dumfries out, I think he'd be a very, very good addition to Inter. And the final option is going to Portugal, to Ivan Fresneda at Sporting, who has been a little bit in and out of the side, not necessarily, you know, through the fact that he's been bad, but through the fact that I think they know they're going to lose him at some point and they are kind of rotating to make sure that there are options in that area when he does go. And he's someone currently playing in a back four, but has played massively in a back five under Amorim and under his successors as well. He is someone who was brilliant when he was at Valladolid in La Liga, and who earned that big money move. He's someone who's on Arsenal's radar for a number of years. Really, really talented young player who still has a lot of road in front of him. And I think just in a wing-back system, you might just get a bit more joy out of Fresneda than he's been getting from an attacking sense this season. So my present interest is some right wing-back depth, but I've given three cards and I'm not sure which of them they'll pull. I don't know what you think.
Well, the thing is, I love Fresneda anyway. So from a general playing perspective, I like Fresneda, and it's possibly doable at this stage. So that's where I would be going with it, mate. A few clubs have been having eyes on him over the past year, and so that's my personal preference on that front. We've got one more left in Italy. Head off to Rome and let us know what you're handing out.
Well, Gasparini's been very loud in recent days, I've noticed. And he took a big old shot at Evan Ferguson after the weekend. Now, this makes me sad as a little green and white elf. But, you know, he basically said you have to be a bit more than tall in order to play as the striker. I think it helps, though, in a Gasperini system if you are tall. And Paulo Dybala is not doing the business as a number nine. Even if Gasperini said he would pick him every time, I think that he would ideally pick him a little bit further back. So I'm giving Roma a number nine. And I'm going back to Atleti. I promise you, Atleti fans, this is the last time we'll go to you to
take.
Oh,
my goodness.
We will go back to you to give, but we will go
they
back you
know,
one more
present.
Time to take. They're going to have Alexander Sorloth. That's who's going to be wrapped up underneath the Roma Christmas tree.
Because it feels like he already plays for him, to be honest.
Yes, there's something about him that feels like a Roma player already. He's someone who just doesn't seem to get the games he's kind of earned at Atleti. And that's to do with the system and the fact that Julian Alvarez is basically undroppable and Griezmann remains kind of evergreen at this point. It's not a criticism of him and that he hasn't played so much. And we know last year that Simeone made a real point of being like, look, I need you as my finisher. You are not going to start as many games, but I am going to get you significant minutes. And he's really good at doing that, Simeone. He's really good at giving 30 minutes to a substitute rather than 5 minutes at the end of a game. And Sorloth continues to be a difference maker for this Atleti side. But again, going back to the point we made right at the start with the Barrios one, Atleti feel like they're in a mood to maybe kind of shell some of this up and start again, start afresh. And I think that they would be open to selling Sorloth if the price was right. Roma needs someone to come in. I did originally think about just giving Roma a tearing up Tammy Abraham's loan and bringing him back. He's playing pretty well for Besiktas. Yeah. And I thought about Moise Kean, but he's been so hot and cold this year. And by hot and cold, I mean cold this season. And I think you're kind of looking at all these players. Raspadori doesn't strike me as the number nine for a Gasperini system. I just think that Sorloth would be a perfect, perfect player. He's someone who would come in and lead the line in every single game. You're guaranteeing him minutes. You're playing for a famous, brilliant old club under one of the best attacking managers in the world who will promise to juice your numbers. I think that Sorloth would be a perfect gift for Roma this Christmas.
Love it, mate. Absolutely good stuff. We'll leave it there and we will head across Europe. We'll come back after the break.
Welcome back to Ranks FC and our Christmas gifts for big clubs, the ones we're leaving under the tree for the top managers around the world. And we're going to go to Germany quickly now. And Dean, I know you've got a present for Vincent Kompany at Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I have. And he's going to be, I think he'll be very happy to see this. I've got a bit of a surprise for him. What it's going to be is in the morning, he's going to get a ring on his doorbell. And he's going to go and open the door and Upamecano is going to be standing there with a contract all signed and he's staying. He's not going to leave on a free transfer.
Like in Love Actually, he's going to have loads of boards.
Yeah, he's going to have those boards. Sorry for the wait. Sorry for annoying you. I'm staying. And then just shows him the contract at the end.
Tell him it's Lennart Kahl.
That's it, mate. A new contract for Upamecano. That's all he wants, right? That's all he needs because you don't need Mark Gahey or a Konate or anything like this. You've already got someone that can work for you. So I just think let's not overcomplicate things for Bayern Munich at this moment in time. Sometimes the best present is just staring you in the face and yeah, this is it for him.
I think I had a good think about potential presents for Kompany. I thought that maybe a Kompany present could be a contract extension for Vincent Kompany, you know, to tie him down to the club for even longer.
I mean, he only just did that recently, didn't he?
But he's already done that. And ultimately, it doesn't feel like Bayern have all that many weaknesses, considering they still have players to come back from injury, considering there's still Fonzie Davis to slot into this team, considering the way that they are playing right now. 55 goals in the first half of the Bundesliga season. They've only broken the 100 mark twice before. So this is a historic year from a Bayern perspective. They are storming away at the top of the Bundesliga and going well in the Champions League as well. I don't think they need loads. And I don't think you need to do loads with a winning squad. So I think that an Upamecano new contract will be about the best gift you could give to Kompany and the Bayern fans this Christmas.
Good stuff.
All right, let's go over to France quickly to PSG. And this is difficult, right? This is the reigning European champions who have not been perfect this year. And I thought about a variety of different things here. thought about, you know, like a, like with Arsenal, potentially a guarantee that Ousmane Dembele will be fit for the rest of the campaign. That's a tricky one to promise. But I kind of was looking at it and thinking, this is still one of the best teams in the world. And you can't really give them a number nine because Luis Enrique doesn't like playing with them. So therefore, there's no real reason giving him someone like that. So I decided that for a team that's been blessed with really good vibes recently, what they needed was more good vibes. And so as a present to PSG, I'm going to give them a fully fit Achraf Hakimi coming back having won AFCON with Morocco. Because if he comes back full of the joys of spring, full of life, and such an important part of what they did last year, I think that it inspires the rest of his team. I think that he comes back into that unit, not only as kind of like, whoa, we missed him for a couple of weeks before AFCON, but coming back in with that spring in his step, he's just captained his nation to a win in AFCON that Morocco have not seen for a long, long, long time. I think that would change the game from a PSG perspective. And we saw them kick into gear at the start of 2025. Perhaps something like this would help them click into gear in the same kind of way at the start of 2026. So PSG's gift is a fully fit Achraf Hakimi coming back with the AFCON trophy in his hands.
I love that one. That's so funny. And yeah, what can you give a team that have already got so much? Like, you've got to think outside the box sometimes, haven't you? It's like buying a present for a millionaire or billionaire if you're PSG. But yeah, I think you've nailed it, mate. That's a really nice gift. They're going to be delighted.
I think they will as well. And I think they'd just be really happy for their pal on top of everything else, which is a nice one. Right. It's time to return to Atleti.
This is a big one. You owe them big.
I do owe them big, right? With my palms open. And so I thought about this long and hard, Dean. And my first thought was that what I'd actually like to give them is a de-ager for both Koke Resurrection and for Jan Oblak and for Antoine Griezmann. That suddenly they could just take 5 years off all three of those players. But I realised that even the fact that you've managed to get the squad brain reboot for Spurs, this felt a little bit too much like a stretch. So I decided to step back from that. And I thought about it and thought about what they might need most. And the players we've looked at here, you know, who potentially are going to leave to be presents for other clubs, they leave a hole. I think they leave a hole mostly in the middle of the pitch because of how Barrios is. But we know what Simeone likes, right? We know how much he loves war horses. We know how much he loves experience. And I saw a player with an eye on who's not being used at his current club, who I think Simeone feels like he should have already managed for about 10 years of his career. When I looked at Leon Goretzka, and I went, Leon Goretzka feels like he needs to be managed by Cholo. He needs to be managed by Diego Simeone. And with Barrios departing in our Christmas gift for Manchester United, I think that Goretzka coming in there with quite a lot left to give, I think, in his career, but it has been kind of passed up now by other players coming into this Bayern side and being absolutely brilliant. We know how good Pavlovic is. We know how good Kimmich is. We know that Lima can step into those midfield roles. We know how good the talent at Bayern is. And I think that Goretzka has a little bit been overlooked in terms of what he can still bring to the table physically and from a kind of experience perspective. So as a gift to Atleti, to fill that Barrios-shaped hole, because I think that they have the talent coming through in order to actually fulfill or fill the holes that Raspadori won't leave a hole because he's barely played. And Sorloth is sparingly used. I think they can find some space to make that stick. I think the big hole would be Barrios. So I'm giving Atleti Leon Goretzka. I don't think they're going to be all that pleased with the business that they've been given.
No, it's not a great return, is it?
But I actually think that Simeone would look at this and be like, yes, give me more. Give me more of this kind of thing. And perhaps it has been in those moments where they've lacked a little bit of experience of late, that Atleti have kind of fallen behind in this title race in Spain. I wonder if we start to see a new Atleti formed with a little bit more grinta and grit, which is the bit that Diego Simeone was the best at coaxing the best out of them with.
Yeah, listen, Simeone's okay with this sort of stuff, right? He doesn't
want to. Yeah, Atleti fans are mad, but Simeone is delighted with the business that's happening.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want a skateboard.
He wants three backpacks.
He's very happy with that. I'm going to take us across Madrid now, then, mate, and look at Real Madrid. Well, this was tough because obviously they can buy whatever they want, right? So it's always difficult to buy someone who's constantly buying themselves gifts anyway. But I have managed to get them something that money
can't. Real Madrid don't buy gifts.
Well, they
what they do is they wait for the gifts to be given to them for free from elsewhere. They get gifted them by like big brands.
Yeah, true. That's true. Gift, hashtag gifted, hashtag ad. But what I've managed to get them is a Band-Aid box, brackets, Defender Edition. Right, so we've basically got here a defensive depth starter pack for Real Madrid. And it's kind of like a season's supply of defensive stability and fitness. And it means that they get everybody back in the new year. And that for the rest of the season, they don't have to worry about Trent or Militao or Rudiger or Carvajal or whoever else has been injured recently. And that Housen stays fit. And that they actually get a team together. And they don't have to think, oh my goodness, are we going to have to play Tchouameni at the back? Are we going to have to play Valverde at right back? No. All your actual defenders are fit now for the rest of the season. You could still have problems elsewhere. But my little Band-Aid kit will mean that you can fix up all those problems and they are good till the end of May.
Honestly, just an Eder Militao back, I think, would have been the best gift you could have given Real Madrid.
There you go.
So to give them all the rest of them as well. That's really quite something.
Yeah, I mean, they're very special, these Band-Aid boxes, mate.
You've really pulled it out the bag there. I think that is the gift that they would like the most in the entire world. Okay, let's cross finally to Barcelona. And I teased this at the start of the podcast, but I'm coming back to it. The gift that I am giving Barcelona is a wrapped-up Marguerite. Because I've been thinking about this a lot and the names that Barcelona have been linked with. Pau Torres at Aston Villa, Bastoni at Inter, Schlotterbeck at Borussia Dortmund. And thinking, I'm not completely convinced about any of them, either in terms of the price they would cost because of the situations they're in, like Villa are not letting Pau Torres go without a massive scrap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Schlotterbeck is staying at Dortmund for the foreseeable future unless someone comes in with a big money offer. And Bastoni, we've not seen thrive. I think he could thrive in a four at the back system, but hasn't thrived for the Azzurri in the same way that he has at Inter, where he's played with that freedom on the left side of the back three. And I think there's a certain element of risk associated with that. But I think the Marguerite would be the perfect addition to Hansi Flick's high line. And with 6 months left on his contract, as we said at the start, I don't think he's necessarily going to leave Palace for another Premier League club in January. I don't see why he would. I think he gets his pick of the pack when it comes to the summer. But I think the pre-contract bits might be a conversation you could have with a club who are obviously outside of the Premier League. And I've been looking at it and thinking, well, if we're giving Liverpool a Ronald Araujo, for example, if Christensen's injury means that Barcelona can redistribute 80% of his wages through to the end of the season and then he walks away on a free, I think that there might be scope for Barcelona to do some business. And if they're doing business, it has to be in the defensive areas. If they could go, okay, we're going to sign Marguerite and Palace will give you the 20 million that Liverpool have given us for Araujo right now, would Palace be like, okay, we'll let you have them for the 6 months. Now, look, that might mean the end of Glasner. That might mean the end of Glasner might be here anyway. And I'm concerned about Palace's choice of potential replacements, or at least mooted potential replacements. But that's a one for another day. But I do think it's very interesting to see how things play out with this. And if money was put on the table in January, if Palace would be able to genuinely refuse it, if Gueye was interested in leaving at that time. And I think if Barcelona comes storming in for you on the first day of January, it's quite difficult not to have your head turned. I think this could be the game changer that changes Barcelona's season.
Yeah, I mean, Palace know he's going to be leaving anyway, don't they? So they might as well get a few quid for him. This would be nice. Obviously, Gueye is open to going and living abroad and testing himself in La Liga is enticing. And I think he'd be bang up for this. I think that this would suit everyone. Like, who doesn't want that? Brand new Barcelona stadium, top of the league. That is a good, and it's also a good time, I think, to be leaving Palace. I think that they might be about to spiral over the course of 2026. So, yeah, if you can encourage him, mate, to just jump ship, and go and make the biggest move of his life, then he'll be delighted. The only problem I think you might have, Jack, is that Gahey thought his own Christmas was coming at the end of the season, because obviously if he leaves as a free agent, he gets a bucket load of money in a signing on fee. So you might have to stick another few quid in a Christmas card for him just to make up for that.
Yeah. I mean, you do get to live in Barcelona, though, so it's a trade-off.
Well, Croydon's nice.
I mean, look, as a Londoner myself, right, I'm not gonna sit here and criticise London, but Barcelona is nice, having spent some time there before. I wonder if, you know, maybe Marcus Rashford is there giving him a ring and be like, yo, fancy joining me over here?
There's worse places to live, mate.
There are worse places to live, indeed. So that's what we're giving to Barcelona to wrap up our Christmas gifts.
Lovely stuff.
Under
good
the tree.
Job.
And there we have it. A little bit of fun for Christmas Eve. I hope you've all enjoyed us trying to work out what clubs would want the most over the course of this. And all that's left for me to do is say thank you very much to Mr. Dean Jones.
Cheers, mate. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, mate. Thank you very much to all of you for listening. And we hope that whatever you're doing over the festive periods, you're having a wonderful, wonderful time, whether you're relaxing, whether you're watching all the games, whether you're just taking some time off. We hope it has been already a lovely, lovely start to this period, and it continues all the way through to the start of 2026. There'll be one more episode of Dean and I that's going out on New Year's Eve. That's going to be wrapping up everything that happened in 2025, our year wrapped, if you will, here on Ranks FC. And then I'll be away for a couple of weeks on my honeymoon, traipsing around in South America. So I'm very, very excited to get on the road. But there's going to be podcasts, there's going to be content. We will not leave you high and dry during that period either. But for now, we hope you all have wonderful Christmases, wonderful festive periods, wonderful holidays. I've been Jack Collins. This has been Ranks FC. And we'll see you all very, very shortly. Take it easy, Rank Squad. Happy Christmas and peace.